Hello, our friends, Evolutionary EE Arts, Hearts Home Family.
Hello, hello, hello.
As always, guys, please do check in daily. Make sure that you're subscribed to all three channels. Try to share these videos everywhere you possibly can. So, Evolutionary, if you saw, that was the first time we went over 5,000 because, again, the circumstances on this planet are that we are not really free to compete fairly, especially when you're fighting against the system itself. But yeah, 5,600. Now, yesterday we did one. It's got 2.4 over on EE Arts, and felt it was very, very important. And we will look for more clarity on exactly what the guides meant, because truly they didn't give us all the clarity that you would want. But again, they don't want to interfere with our human journey. But they did say that things may not be possibly recognizable as far as how much things are going to change. And of course, things are always, always changing. Did you know that John Dee was an astrologer, teacher, an occultist, an alchemist, and an astronomer? So you'll find that there's astronomers and astrologers when we go back in time that would regard both of those sciences as just that, pure science, astronomy and astrology. And Nostradamus, again, you know, he's another one. And these were both court, and we could go, you know, into the biblical times and pre-biblical times, and we will find that what do kings and queens always have? They always have astrologers. Always. They took it seriously. And here you have America's founding fathers used astrology in designing Washington, D.C. itself.
I know. There's a little blurb out of a book here that says George Washington waited for the moon to enter into the sign of Virgo the night he was going to lay the first brick of the White House's foundation. And it says this fact will never, ever be denied by even the highest scholars of our time. And the entire structure of Washington, D.C. has been energized with black magic rituals and keeps its people and perhaps the world under control by its gigantic monuments. Now, I know people that work in that area, and emotionally, they're very clashed. They're very tortured. And to me, this spelled out everything. They are trying to go against this grain because it's not in their being. It's not who they are, and they're definitely feeling it. And you know, there's a lot to say about all kinds of monuments around this world. I mean, they were created so deliberately with such meaning in mind. And what do they tell us now? Oh, it's just a piece of art. It's just a structure. Oh, it's just this and it's just that. Don't look any deeper into it. And if you are one who can see past the veil and you start spewing truth, boy, are you labeled crazy and put away quick as they can.
Absolutely. You know, and again, we see, and I understand you guys are an unusual bunch. You regular subscribers, regular watchers, I mean, you guys get it so much more than the vast majority of people on this planet. And so when you see this inverted pentagram that's outlined there, what does it truly represent? Again, the pentagram is the five elements, and in some ways it's the microcosm as well, as it can represent man. It's the again, that famous Da Vinci, Vitruvian man.
Yes, I mean, there's so many pieces of art that were done back in the day that, I mean, they're just at face value. It's given to us and it says, boy, that's just really pretty art. But no, there is so much information involved behind the scenes, and really it's subliminal, I can't say that word, and subconscious.
You know, and it's fascinating what he's done in this, really. There's so much here. There's so much alchemy in this simple little symbol. And, you know, and it's replicated in rituals throughout many different occult circles. But if we simply take it to be that star shape that we've talked about, you know, the two arms, two legs, and a head, and we could, again, view it as a pentagram, and, you know, the head being spirit, and then the four elements, you know, below the head. So it's kind of the descent of spirit into matter in so many ways. And, you know, what we have really, when we're looking at this upside down symbol, is basically making it so that the material world has more significance than the spiritual side. And that's exactly what the controllers, honestly, have done in everything. You know, they value to such a high degree the 3D, 4D realm over the higher densities. Everything is inverse. As the guys are getting upset with this, everything is in inverse of the natural order of things. Totally inverse and upside down. And this is part of the bigger picture. So when we see this upside down pentagram and we view it as quote unquote satanic, what is satanic really? You know, again, if you go to just pure original definitions, and Satan simply meaning the adversary to humanity, is the control grid that we find ourselves in, the dark control grid. There's multiple control grids because astrology is part of the matrix of the world that we're in right now and of this entire universe. You know, astrology is a real science, and we're going to look at Smithsonian magazine article that's going to say it's not a science. But yes, of course it's a science. It's perhaps one of the most ancient sciences that is given to us from the golden age. The true knowledge comes from the golden age. Everything is distorted when we are in the darker ages. Now the Kali Yuga is the darkest of the dark, but the Dwapara, you know, there's still a strong dark side influence in the Bronze Age, what we would call the Bronze Age.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, when you start to read and understand this stuff a little bit, you will find that there is something called the mystery of the zodiac. And that's because they don't actually know where it's from. But like Mike said, I believe, and he believes, it does come from the Golden Age. And all of this information was taken apart. It was scattered. It was left in little bitty pieces. So right now, if you're able to study it, which I really struggle with, you are actually helping to put all of these pieces that have been taken out of the puzzle. You're helping to put them back because, you know, sometimes when I'm talking with someone and there's a chart there, I'm able to actually make a lot of my own notes, and I might ask questions, and because I'm one of those people that's trying to put the pieces of the puzzle back together again, because it really was pretty much obliterated. We've had to do a lot of research, a lot of looking to put the puzzle pieces back together, but it is happening, and we are in this darker age. But as we move into the age of understanding, all of this information is going to be downloaded inside of us anyway.
Absolutely. You know, and I can't share with you enough that the times I've been in DC, and I've only visited, you know, the White House, the monuments once, and it was enough. Honestly, it wasn't what at that time, and that was so many years ago, you know, like 30, 35 years ago, probably. And it was really just awakening to the bigger scope of everything that's going on at that point in time. I didn't like the energy. I couldn't stand the energy. It made my skin crawl. It just felt really uncomfortable. It felt very heavy, very dense. And there's a reason for it, because again, it is loaded in the dark magic, so to speak, of the controllers, because they are very, very dark. They're as the Law of One says, you know, you have service to others, service to self. They are completely in service to self. And again, that's kind of what happens when you put the material above the physical to such a high degree. Here, you know, we see an outline. It's somebody's drawing. It feels Bohemian Grove and owlish, does it not? There's so much to all this. You know, as Cindy was saying, you know, taking your time to wait and count until you're going to lay that first brick because you want it to be in a certain astrological sign. That says everything, does it not?
It definitely does. And there is an enormous amount of effort to try to discredit this information and its usefulness. But I've seen too many times where it really has helped people move into alignment to their highest purpose. And I know that there's something to it. And honestly, if someone were to be a psychologist, you know, as a profession, I would have it right along with astrology, because that's one of the most therapeutic things that if you are lost and searching for yourself, boy, that is so therapeutic. When you finally discover something in your chart and you're like, oh, wow, you know, it's almost like it really is like breaking a spell. It's like all of a sudden it's okay because it was already written in the stars. And I can't answer exactly why that makes things okay. I've just felt it in myself. I felt it in other people. And I think it's a really beautiful thing to come across. So yeah, they want to discredit this every step of the way.
Yeah, so this one author wrote a book called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, The Masons in the Building of Washington, D.C. Well, he believes that the original designers of D.C. purposely aligned the city and therefore the nation with the stars. Oh, absolutely. They sought to affect the destiny of the nation, knowing that combining the celestial with the earthly, the great second hermetic principle of as above, so below, being in harmony with celestial mechanics. They understand that. You know, why go against this tide when you could go with it? It's all about going with the tide. That increases your chances of success. Of course, you want to go with the tide as opposed to going against the tide. That's why they wait to certain times to do certain things. That's why, you know, everything from, you know, well, why did, you know, the war break out in Ukraine? Because they were waiting for, again, that date when we have the Pluto return coming in. Because what's part of their ultimate purpose in this time? It's to basically change who is leading the world. And, you know, it's been the U.S. and it's been the NATO countries, and arguably we could still say that the U.S. is part of the British Empire, which is part of the Holy Roman Empire, really, and goes back to Rome and goes back to Samaria, goes back to those that came from the stars. Now, there's a lot that came from the stars. Now, who came from the stars in the Dwapara to establish control? Well, that's those with that A word that gets the wiki. And, you know, they do so much to tell you when you get that wiki, you know, you're uncovering something that's part of the bigger plan there. So again, this is the thing where we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say that all that came from the stars are negative, because they're not. When we're in the golden age, those that come from elsewhere are benevolent beings that teach us great truths, and they teach us great science. And this is where we get, you know, the astrology from in the first place. But the astrology gets twisted, and that's the point. It gets twisted. In the dark age, you know, they can't have us understanding how things truly work. So then we see things like this: wrong horoscope due to wobbly earth and shifted zodiac. Yeah, the panic that has arisen from the idea that our zodiac signs are not what we once believed came completely unexpected. Parky Kunkel, an astronomer who began the debacle with his affirmation that the Earth's wobble had shifted zodiac signs. A 2,000-year-old story, as he mentions, did not estimate the viral effect that has taken place since the release of his story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Well, yeah, everything has shifted. And it's due, again, to the precession of the equinox. The moon, again, we've talked about the fact that the moon is not something that was always here. No, the story they give us is not accurate. The moon was put in place. There's actually a term for those people that remember the time before the moon, and it's called proselenes. And so it's in that remembrance, and there are tribes in Africa, there are people in the Americas, the Australian Aborigines, and you even have the Etruscans that remembered over in Italy, what now currently is Italy, a time before the moon was put in place. Absolutely. And that causes the earth to be tilted. And this, in our, from what we've gotten, I think we're pretty convinced that the moon was brought in at the Younger Dryas event. Again, about 12,000 years ago, roughly.
Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to zodiac signs, it is really common to just definitely tie your ego into that zodiac sign. And sometimes people might actually have a bit of a zodiac crisis, you know, when they realize, oh, okay, well, with these numbers and this astrological chart, everything is so different. Most of the time, it's different. And I went through the same thing, but when I actually took a closer look at things, everything lined up so much better. I mean, it was amazing. Everything clicked into place and it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. But yeah, there is some ego tied to the zodiac, which is not a bad thing. Our ego is not bad, but it does make it difficult for people to let go. And I can't say that one way is better than another way, because everything has its purpose, and information will blend together. But gosh, it feels so much better when it's just dead on.
So again, it all depends on where we're at that particular time. But as you can see, like all these articles, why your zodiac sign's probably wrong, why your zodiac sign horoscope are wrong, this is from Live Science, which again, NASA, it's part of the matrix that we are in. And yet, you know, again, it's because they haven't taken into account the motion and the wobble in the West. And I think that's completely purposeful, because, you know, the Western way has dominated the minds of people for a very, very long time. Again, we go back to the Greeks and the Romans, and we could go back before that to the Fertile Crescent. And, you know, there have been many different, you know, kings and queens with their court astrologers. But this is why we go along with the Vedic way of doing things. So NASA didn't change your astrological sign. Blame it on the Earth's wobbly rotation. And then, you know, this from the Smithsonian, which has hidden the truth of things like giants in our history. The Smithsonian is as full of lies, obviously, as any of the major mainstream newspapers. Yeah, astrology is not a science. Oh, yes, of course it is. The science that they give us is not a science. That's the thing. So we have the tropical zodiac, and then we have what's called the sidereal. The tropical, what's a tropical birth chart? Tropical astrology definition, a form of astrology that measures the position of the sun relative to the vernal equinox, does not compensate for the precession of the Earth's axis, so that the zodiac signs move around the sky relative to the vernal equinox by about one sign every 2150 years. Whereas the sidereal, this is what the Vedic does, it's of or relating or concerning the stars or constellations measured or determined by means of apparent daily motion of the stars. So again, it's all about where are we right now, you know, not where we were in the deep past. So you might, or maybe you haven't realized what you truly are as far as your signs. And again, in the West, it's kind of like it looks at your sun sign as predominant. And in the Vedic chart, Cindy does a better job of describing this. You know, there's so many other things that are taken into account, and they are in the West too. you know, things like the nodes of the moon and you know, your ascendant, your moon sign, and, you know, your time here might throw you off when you, you know, look at, you know, what am I really? Because, you know, in the West, I was always a double Cancer, but, in reality, I'm a double Gemini. So very, very different.
Right. And he definitely has those double Gemini Mercurian characteristics. I mean, extremely smart, able to do a dozen things at once and do it very, very well, you know. But at the same time, he's also, Mike is also very nurturing. So you can see that the energies do kind of mesh together. I've just found always across the board that the Vedic is more accurate and it does give you more answers. You know, one thing I like to kind of mention to people, like, as soon as I'm opening a chart, there's a lot of information there, but three things I tell people to keep in mind, and I'll give the rising sign, I'll give the moon sign, and I'll give the sun sign. Definitely, please study all three of those signs, because that's where you're going to find yourself. That's where you're going to find your soul. That's where you're going to find the understanding. And when you're on a spiritual journey, so many people, they're in it for self-discovery. You know, there's a lot of good reasons to be into spirituality, but the number one reason is finding yourself, finding out who you are. And there's actually certain things in a chart which show that you might be eclipsed from finding yourself for like the first half of your life, you know. But if you understand that and you know it and you see it, well, you just made a bridge. You've either gone around that obstacle or you've gone over that obstacle, because now you know why. And for so many people, it helps. It really, really helps. But, you know, also when it comes to the sun sign, sun is your soul. It is the biggest part of you. That's the part of you that you're not able to see directly. And we look at the moon, and the moon is a reflection of your soul. And in Vedic astrology, they look at that reflection and they describe your emotions. Because when you're able to pinpoint your emotions, you're better able to figure out who you are at this time and place when you're in this body, having this version of this life. It's very helpful. And also, the rising sign is very influential too. It's going to just kind of talk about your day-to-day antics, you know, what your life is going to be like. What are your main characteristics? So it all definitely has a lot of purpose. But those are just a little bit that we touch on.
So there's many things that Cindy was talking came popping into my mind. And when these things come in, then I recognize this is the guides wanting me to share. You might say, well, wait a minute. If the moon is not really something that's originally part of our original plan and template, how could it be so important? And again, look at where we are. It does not, the system that we are in, you know, albeit it is a satanic system, doesn't it influence us? It certainly does. Does it not overshadow everything that is us? Yes, it does. Does it not distort us? Oh, it certainly does. It distorts everything in this world. And so we have to recognize that the effects are real. There is the potential we've gotten from the guides, not definitively, but there is the potential, it feels, that at some point in time, the moon might not be here anymore. The moon, as we go out of the dark age, and perhaps it will take until we're out of the Dwapara and starting to go back into the Treta or the Satya Yugas, the silver or golden ages, before things are completely restored. If the moon was to be pulled away, scientists will tell you, oh, life couldn't exist. Well, yeah, you know, the satanic system wants to tell you, you can't exist without us. You know, but that's not the reality. The reality is we would have a much more healthy, longer, more benevolent life. And we would have a much more blissful, heavenly life on Earth and in a 3D realm where, you know, why do you come into a 3D realm? Because everything is a little bit more intense. There's more sensual pleasures, but then it also comes with a little bit more trial and tribulation and work, effort. Yes, absolutely. You know, but at the same time, there is great benefit to be derived from this. So there may be a time when the moon is no longer here. And then, you know, the astrology will be a little bit changed. Absolutely. You know, and perhaps that part of the sun, which is harder to find and harder to know the self because of the influence of the moon and of the system itself that's in place, will be removed. And it will be having a much clearer picture of the true self, the higher self. And when we look to, again, you know, that old age-old question, which it was in my mind for 40-plus years, you know, what do I want to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? Well, if you look to the stars, they will tell you, because, again, we jump in at the moment that's going to give us the best opportunity to achieve the desired results of our life, which really, what's the results of our life, really? It's experiential knowledge. And experiential is the key, because it's through experiences that we really, really learn and grow. I mean, we could read, per se, we can take in other people's thoughts. But until we really, really experience something ourselves, we're not really feeling it. We're not really knowing it. And that's why we actually, you know, come in and take these vehicles. So, you know, we can experience all the roller coaster ride of different emotions and learning opportunities that brings.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I really love about this art / science is its ability to help people find out more about themselves, because when you know better, you do better. And there's so many parts of the chart you can look at with different little techniques and different ways of reading things that are going to give you this information. It's going to help you a great deal and assist you in even understanding your inner world and your outer world. And, you know, people like to know about, okay, well, what kind of abilities do I have? You know, what am I capable of? What's the best thing for me to do as a profession? And all of these things are found in there. And I just really find that so, so fascinating. But it definitely gives you some bones to chew on when you're getting into something like this and you're starting to find the truth and the reality of everything.
Absolutely. It's amazing, because it's like, I kind of view as this astrology in some ways is kind of like an operator's manual for us to figure out ourselves. It really, really is. Think about that. It's one of those 3,000-page long owner's manuals. Yeah. When you want to get into it. And again, Cindy was touching on sun sign, moon sign. And so with me, my sun and moon are the same. And then the rising sign. And it's interesting, because with me, my rising sign's 180 degrees. And that's interesting. Why did I choose to do that? Because, again, I chose to do that.
Right.
This is the thing that we have to take. So, you know, I think that it's unfortunate in the West so often we're brought up with these concepts and ideas that don't give us the truth of the situation. And you might say, I never decided to be born into this family. Why am I part of this family? You know, why am I here? I don't like being here. You know, all this. And it feels like we're the victim, but no, you did choose to join this family. You chose to be here right now. The question is, it's up to you to figure out, why did you choose this? Because some people will say, why the heck? I don't want to ever be back in this, you know, in this planet. And well, gosh, I would never choose to be born at this. You did. Now, the thing is, it's up to you to figure out why. Why did I choose to be born at this time of great conflict and chaos and, you know, the most apparently evil system we can imagine? you chose to come in here. So the question for you is why?
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very one of the most important questions you could ever ask yourself. And there is a time and point where people seem to get very, very angry at things that are going on. But it's really important to get past that anger and find out the why of things. Because just because you're angry doesn't mean that fact is going to change, that you chose to come in here. You can be as angry as you want, but that fact that you chose to come in here does not change. So what's the next thing you can do after that? Find out why. You know, what are you supposed to be doing? And what I really love is so many people, they're in these jobs, and you know, they're 3D jobs, and these are light workers, and they're like, you know, what am I doing here? I don't really want to be here. But please understand that everywhere you are, your light shines and it touches those who are around you in some way, shape, or form, and to a degree, helping them awaken. So if you were to take all the lights and put them all in one spot, you're just going to have one illuminated spot. You know, that's the only part. The rest is going to be dark. But no, we are spread out. Wherever you are at is so, so important and valuable. Please know that. Please understand that, and definitely carry your light of understanding. And you don't even have to tell people anything. Just your very existence, where you're at, is really making a great, tremendous difference. And that's really beautiful.
And just, you know, cultivate that intuition. That is so key. Cultivate your intuition, you know, and I can't stress that enough, because that's how we hear. We must first learn to be still before we can hear. As long as we're talking, we can't really hear what the other's saying. And so that's why in meditation, or with mantras, and I really need mantras, 'cause what happens is I zone out during them. I kind of tune my consciousness into a certain little bit higher wavelength than normal, and I zone out. And sometimes it's even when I'm still saying things, but it's subconscious. You know, I've said these mantras maybe hundreds of thousands of times, and so you don't have to think about it anymore. It's just like a basketball player shooting a basket. You know, you could almost go up to the free throw line, not even look. It's like a great guitarist. Again, you watch them and maybe their eyes are totally closed. And you might be thinking, how do they know where they're fretting? And, you know, it's because, you know, you get to this high degree, and it's the same thing with meditation. You get to a certain point and then things come, and it's just recognizing what's you and what's coming from a higher source, a higher perspective. That takes a little bit of work, but it's doable for everybody. It really, really is doable for everybody. And, you know, again, one of the things that I just meant to touch on briefly before was when we look into like the ascendant, and then you look at your nakshatra. Nakshatras have so much importance placed on them in Vedic astrology, because a typical reading, like when Cindy does a Vedic chart, usually it's 40 minutes to an hour. You know, we segment them in hours. We allot an hour for a chart. Anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour, depending on the person. And then often too, there's more questions that will arise, and there's other charts that Cindy can do besides the birth chart to find, you know, deeper soul realization, so to speak. But you could spend an easy hour just talking about your nakshatra. And the nakshatra is like taking the ascendant and zeroing in to a very high degree on the specific energies of the ascendant.
Mm-hmm. You know, the nakshatra is, not to go too far off topic, but it is the absolute oldest form of astrology that can be found. And I think the older, the better. For me personally, it is more accurate. But yes, that's something that we talk about too. And it's always good to have questions, because this way more information can come out, because not only do I pull the chart in all of the other energy I'm reading as well, going out there and picking up more and more information. So the more questions you have, the more information you're going to have. So that's always very important too, while we're coming together and doing something like this.
Absolutely. So as always, guys, we look forward to your questions. Tell us what you want to go deeper into. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of bravery to go deep into discovering who you really, really are and why you came here. Because, you know, let's face it, a lot of people just want to say, I never chose this. You know, this isn't my gig. I you know, it was my parents' fault. No, you chose it. You find out the reason why. And for so many people, it's all about being part of this huge, great, magnificent transition from darkness to the light. And it takes a lot of bravery. So pat yourself on the back. You are much braver than you might realize.
Indeed.
As always, God bless and namaste.
Namaste.